live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Welcome back, Silver and Black Today, hour number two on this Friday of Super Bowl weekend. I love Super Bowl weekend. At the same time, I hate Super Bowl weekend because that means football is over for the season and we have to wait until August, September to get back on the field, especially if you're a Raiders fan, to get the 2020 taste out of your mouth and move on to 2021. Hi, everybody. It's Scott Gulbranson. Joining me today, my producer, engineer, and co-host is Mr. Chris Chapman. And before every show, to get the energy I need to keep up with Raider Nation, because you guys are dynamos, I have to have good nutrition, right? I have to eat something. And so what I do is I don't have lunch. I skip lunch. I do meal replacement, and I do it with Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bars. These things are amazing. I'm telling you, it's a convenient snack or meal replacement, certified gluten-free, all natural ingredients, no crap in there, no sugar alcohols, none of that stuff that's going to make you bloat up like the Goodyear blimp at the Super Bowl. Instead, it's got superfoods like spinach, kale, and quinoa. Also, these things don't taste like you're eating your shoe. These are amazing protein bars. You can get them at drjensnutrition.com. Use the code SBT10 and you'll get a special discount just for listeners of this show and of Raider Nation Radio. Plus, you get free shipping. If you're in Las Vegas, you can get them at Vegas Discount Nutrition or at Terrible Herb Store. So check out Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bar. Some breaking news out of Kansas City at this hour. Not good news for the Chiefs. Assistant linebackers coach Britt Reed was involved in a multiple vehicle accident that injured two young children just 2 days ahead of the Super Bowl. Reed, who is the Chiefs head coach Andy Reid's son, has been with the team since 2013. And apparently after 9 p.m. last night on Interstate 435 in Kansas City, he hit a vehicle and there's no other details. The child, one of the children, a five-year-old, is in critical condition in the hospital. There's no other details there or on whether or not there was any impairment involved here. He was near the team's practice facility, so it's not anticipated that there was, but not good news for the Chiefs and for Andy Reid and his son, Britt Reid, ahead of the Super Bowl. You don't need distractions going to the game, and certainly thoughts and prayers go out to the child who's in the hospital as a result of this accident in Kansas City. So there you have it, up to date. But we're also taking your calls about the 30 for 30 last night, 702-365-9200. What did you think of the impersonation of Al Davis, of Pete Rozelle, of the story overall? We're going to go out now on the Raider Nation listener hotline and bring in our good man, Ruben. Ruben, you're on with Scott and Chris here on Silver and Black Today.
Hey, guys. Love the show as always. Love the 30 for 30 last night, man. I watched it actually twice when it first came out at 6 p.m., and then I got to see it on ESPNU again later on in the evening. But I liked it, man. It was good. I mean, as a Raider fan, man, we have this rich history, and just to see, you know, the whole story behind the Al versus the NFL with the all that. It's crazy. Also with that saddleback juror, the owner, whatever that was.
Wasn't that crazy?
I didn't know about that. Yeah, that was crazy.
I forgot about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not that old. I mean, I'm old, but not that old. But I didn't remember that. So that was probably like something that caught me off guard. Like, oh, crazy. Like, he was holding out because of that and all that whatnot. But overall, it was just a good series, a good show. I can't wait to download it or buy it or however you can, just to add it to my library of Raider stuff I have. You know, I love my Raiders, man, and hopefully these younger players, man, they could, you know, feed off that history, man. Let's get back to that. You know, that's what being a Raider is all about, man. Just the tradition, the history, and I love my Raiders, man. I'll always love the Raiders. All my income, any stuff I could buy, I buy it licensed and whatnot. I don't buy knockoff stuff, so support my team. But love the documentary, love the show, and win, lose, or tie, Raiders till I die, guys. That's all I got to say.
Ruben, as always, man, great call. We appreciate you, brother. And yeah, I mean, Chris, I think that's one of the things, too, for us, and I know a lot of our listeners are outside of Las Vegas, as we know from the phones. Ruben's here in Vegas. But a lot of the listeners in Vegas who maybe are becoming Raider fans because the team is now here, For them, I thought that that documentary was must watch, because some of that history you just might not know, because maybe you're from, you know, Montana, or maybe you're from Texas and you moved here, and even though you've had other teams, you know, now this is your home, and so you're going to support the home team, Raiders. That, to me, Chris, was big for Las Vegas and for younger viewers to watch and understand the history.
Yeah, like Ruben said, it's important for the young cats to know the history of this franchise, whether they're a player for the franchise or they're a new fan. You know, a lot of kids here in Vegas, I see them walking around with Raider jerseys on. I mean, I was in Japan back in November. I saw a kid wearing a Las Vegas Raiders shirt in Japan. I'm like, wow, this is pretty wild. So it's important for young people to know the history of the franchise, right? If you're a Yankee fan, you grew up a Yankee fan, you know Babe Ruth. You know, right. Roger Maris, Mickey Mantle, you know the icons of your franchise. It's always important for fan bases to know where their team came from, the struggles that they faced. I mean, the last 20 years have been fantastic if you're a Patriots fan, but there was a lot of real bad history previous to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. It's important for fans to know that, because if you're a fan of the franchise, you should be there with the bad times and the good times. And unfortunately for Raider fans, the last 20 years have not been the greatest of times, but there's a lot of history for Raider fans to be proud of. The Madden years, and the fact that John Madden is such an iconic brand, not only in the NFL, but in the video game world. So,
yeah, a lot of kids, that's how they know Madden.
Yeah,
a lot of kids don't even, I remember talking to my son when he was younger, when he was like 8 years old, we started playing Madden, and I'm watching NFL films one night, and John Madden comes on, he's like, "Is that the same Madden, the video game?" I'm like, yes, he was a coach. He won Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, so we're at the point now where there's kids who are watching the NFL today who may not even remember John Madden and Pat Summerall as CBS's number one NFL broadcast duo. I mean, it's we're at that point now where that's where we're at with John Madden. But I like what Ruben said. And there was something I wanted to touch on, what Gangster Raider said, too. The pettiness of the NFL. If you're a fan of the game, you know that the NFL has always given the Raiders a short end of the stick. Whether it's travel, multiple games and early start times on the East Coast, or bad calls, we have a little stinger that runs the Immaculate Deception. It's always been that way. And what I laugh about is as I see Raider fans, they embrace that stuff. Yeah, it pisses them off, but they embrace it as part of their history. Like, yeah, you know what? We've been screwed. But we've also given the finger to the NFL, because we've got multiple Lombardi trophies, not only going against teams on the field, but going against the NFL. And that's something that's a point of pride, I think, for Raider fans. And I think that was a point of pride for Al Davis, the fact that he knew the odds were always given against him. They were always against the Raiders, and he still was able to overcome so much.
Well, and that's what that little part in the documentary when they win the Super Bowl was the first wild card to do it. They were going against the league at the time. They were trying to get to Los Angeles, and they couldn't get to Los Angeles, and so they had to practice up in Oakland and try to play games here. And they weren't sure when their season started. The league said, "No, we're scheduling games for Oakland, not for LA," even though the Raiders were basically setting up shop in LA. So there's a lot of that there. And the other thing you brought up the Patriots, and I think that's a great one, because the one thing I learned about that, and again, I've only covered the team for 3 years, and I thought I did a really good job of leading up until Raider Nation Radio launched when I was on the other station, of trying to educate new fans about the Raiders' history and franchise going all the way back. But the one thing that I forgot about was, as part of that whole trial, was how adversarial the former ownership of the Patriots were. And so, like, if you hate the Patriots because of Tom Brady, as a Raider fan, totally should, and I understand why, for 2002 and the Tuck Rule game, but you should also dislike them for what they tried to do to the team in the 1980s.
Was that Victor Kiam?
What's that?
Was that the Victor Kiam years?
No, before them.
Because he was a horrible guy too. So
yeah,
there's a lot of reasons to dislike that franchise.
Yes, there is, and the Raider fans have plenty. All right, we're going back out on the phone lines. It is Raider Sal. Raider Sal, what'd you think of the 30 for 30?
Hey, what's up, Scott? First time calling in. First of all, love the show, man. I've been listening for a while on the podcast, but the documentary was great, man. I loved it. To touch on what Chris and what Gangster Raider was saying, it was cool to see people who don't really or aren't familiar with the franchise or the Raiders just know us by the bad rap, or you guys are the, you know, worst team in the NFL the last few years. Just to see, like, the pettiness from the NFL, I think, the whole Pittsburgh Steelers, we got to play on the frozen field. Roselle talking about more about the Redskins when we won the championship, I thought was good for people to see that, just to see how much we're hated. And totally agree. I think our fan base has embraced that. We definitely come off as, you know, we're hated, but we're respected. And it was just great, man. I listened to Q's podcast this morning, and I kind of agree with him. The weirdness of the, like, the deep face kind of threw me off for a little bit. But other than that, man, I loved it. It was great. Great to see us getting a little bit of shine. And for people who don't really know about us, just to see, like, the trials and tribulations that we've had to go through to get to where we are now. So I thought it was great, man. I loved it.
Yeah, Raider Sal, yeah, and I of course, since Q's my partner, I listen to his podcast every morning as well, and he's right, and I understand it, because my wife has the same, like me, it doesn't bother as much, but I've always been like a technology guy, so the kind of, the deep fake stuff, which, you know, you can do on your phone with that face swap app and all that kind of stuff, it's interesting, because it's sort of like when you're watching, and Chris, I don't know if you had the correlation that I did, but I was like, it's like watching Madden, like when you're playing football, because the guys' faces look so real now, but you could tell they're fake, and they're getting better and better. But I thought that when I was watching the documentary, that's what it reminded me of. And I thought both of them were pretty good. I thought they were pretty good. The Al Davis one was a little jinky at times. I thought the Pete Rozelle one was dead on.
Yeah, definitely. The Al Davis one, I think, kind of freaked me out for a bit when I was watching it. But
no doubt, man. Raider Sal, so, I appreciate your call, great, man. Great. You have a great weekend, all right?
Yeah, you too. Appreciate it, Scott.
Yeah, thanks for listening, man, as always. I appreciate that. And for you listening to Q's podcast as well. Chris, did you hear me on that one? Did you see it was like you're playing Madden sort of when you saw those guys' faces.
Yeah, the technology is so amazing, because now they have like technology where as you mentioned, the deep fake stuff where they can pretty much create the face and the voice of people and put, I mean, like yesterday when you guys were talking about it with the director, Carrie Fisher passed away, and yet they have her in the latest Star Wars movie. And it's not like she has like one line. I mean, she plays a pretty big role. So it's weird to watch things with people, you know, were made after people passed away, but yet there they are. And it looks like they're there in the flesh. I mean, it's really, really strange, but it's kind of scary in a way too. Like technology sometimes scares me, like with robots and stuff, like how advanced AI and how advanced we're getting with that stuff. But I mean, it's truly amazing the way that they're able to create movies and images on television today. It's one of those things where it's just like, oh my gosh, is this really how far we've come since the days? I mean, you're an old movie buff, and you watch movies from like the 50s and the 40s, and you're like, it really wasn't that long ago. Mm-hmm. And like, it's funny. I like the Godzilla movies, the old school Godzilla movies from like the 50s and the 60s, where there's the guy in the Godzilla suit, and you could tell it's fake. And it's like, have we really gone from a guy dressed in Godzilla to where we're watching a guy who's been dead for a decade? And here he is. And you really think he's there and that they really filmed it. It's truly amazing.
Yeah. And you have, I mean, being with my boys too, the Star Wars stuff, right? So even, and I wouldn't want to do spoilers, but like if The Mandalorian, that was, you know, Friday night television watching for the boys this year, and they got fully into it. And even there, there's a historical character, and I don't want to ruin it for people if you haven't seen the last episode of the season, but there's a historical character from Star Wars that comes into that last episode, and they do the deep fake face to have that person be the age they were in 1983. And so the whole aging thing, you remember the Irishman on Netflix with De Niro and all those guys too, and how they made them younger even though they were standing in and doing their same spot. It really is remarkable. It's also scary. I watched a documentary where they, and I think it's probably on YouTube, but they showed how dangerous it could be, because they took, for example, like a speech from the President of the United States, and I think they used Obama as the one, and they had a guy who was really close on the voice, and they deepfaked his face to make some crazy announcement, like, you know, okay, UFOs have landed in Washington and we're talking to the aliens, so please go to your homes or whatever. And it was an extreme example, but their whole point was, it's the technology is advancing so fast that there could be, and maybe not in this country. We're a little more savvy, but the technology right now is good enough that if you play this in a country somewhere else where they don't have the 150,000 television channels like we do and all this stuff, they could honestly look at that. Someone else could use it as propaganda to say, look, the United States has just declared war on us or whatever. And so it's scary, the implications past sports. So when we look at used, like it was used in the 30 for 30 about Al Davis in the NFL, it's less threatening to me, but you're right. The fascination of just how fast technology's advanced, even in the last 5 years, it's just doubling every 6 months. And I thought it, I liked the device they used in the movie. I thought it worked well as a storytelling device, even though everybody didn't. But you guys can tell us what you think. 702-365-9200 is the number. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll do that. I also, Chris, I want to talk about, I know you're going to leave us at the bottom half of the hour, but I want to talk about some, about the Super Bowl too, because I think there's some false narratives about the Super Bowl out there when people are talking about this game. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. You're with Scott and Chris here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
The autumn wind is a raider, and when it blows, it comes from the Las Vegas desert. Back to Silver and Black today, here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Yeah, welcome back. Silver and Black today on this Friday. Super Bowl Sunday is coming up. You're here. We're talking Al Davis, 30 for 30 versus the NFL. The Raiders. I just loved the film. I thought it was great. I haven't heard anybody. I mean, some people didn't like pieces of it. Fabian, you know, had some disappointment on it. He called in earlier because he lived through it all and remembers all of it. And you know, look, any film you watch, you're going to like, but there's going to be some things you would have wished they would have done differently. But if you have any comments on it, tell us what you think. What's your review? I would say this is your chance to be Siskel and Ebert, but you guys are all probably too young to remember them.
Not all of us.
Not all of you, but a lot of them. There's no movie reviewers anymore. Like there's, you know, everything's so shared. And you know, like Rotten Tomatoes, right? Rotten Tomatoes.
Everyone knows Rotten Tomatoes, right? I always like Gene Shalit.
Yeah, which is great, but the old movie reviewer is gone.
Yeah.
And I didn't even really think about that until like the last couple of weeks. I'm like looking up some movies to watch on Netflix because Netflix can be a rat hole.
And
there's just no, like, who do I trust on movies? I'm like, there's nobody there anymore. It's just us. We crowdsource it.
Yeah, you go down and it's like you think about it and it's Siskel and Ebert are both, they both passed away, right? I mean, I remember Saturday nights, right? Those guys would come on, or maybe it was Friday nights. Yeah. And they would sit there and they would review every single movie that was coming out in theaters. And it's like, you know, that's one of the things I miss about right now. I like going to the movies. Like, I don't go a lot. Like, there's people who go to the movies every weekend, but I miss going to the movies with my kid. We went to go see, mm-hmm. the last movie we saw in the movie theaters was 1917. And that was such a unique film because it was continuous. Like there were no breaks. And I don't think there's ever been a movie made like that. And I can't wait to get back to normal, right? We want to go back to the movies. We want to go back to watch NFL games in person. I mean, it was so weird because I got to, and you were at all the games, and I got to go to one game this year, and it just was so different and so wrong to be in the Al without Raider fans. I mean, you talked about Wayne Mabry, Violator, going in, right? Like, it doesn't matter if you're a Raider fan or if you're a Bengal fan or if you're a Packer fan, you know who Violator is. And to go in to see a Raider game and not see Violator, it's just wrong.
No, it's part of the it's part of the experience. There's just no, all those super fans who dress up, and I did a podcast with Raider Homer the last week, and all those guys when they come out are fantastic, and it's part of the experience, no doubt. By the way, I've been to two movies since it all closed down, because when they reopened, they were replaying Empire Strikes Back for the anniversary. Was it 35th anniversary? Or
25th, which is the best one, by the way.
What's that?
That's my favorite of
oh. There's it's no question the it's the best Star Wars movie ever made. I agree with you. But we went because the kids had never seen it on the big screen. So I took them to see that. And then the last time we went was just a few weeks ago, actually. I was so jonesing. Chris, to go see a movie, because that is what we do as a family with the kids, right? That's just something we've always been a big movie family. And I took him to see that Monster Hunter movie, which was not great, but it was just great to get out and watch a movie.
Yeah.
It was pretty much just mindless action, and I got boys, so they loved it. the fact that they could sit in the theater, eat popcorn, and just enjoy themselves, which is a great one. By the way, some news, you know, the Super Bowl, we're going to get into some of the, I think, what are false narratives around the Super Bowl, but veterans, you know, I respect and love our veterans, the men and women, a lot of you out there listening who served our country proudly and protected our freedoms. Thank you for all that you've done and continue to do. Veterans United Home Loans did a survey of veterans on who they were picking in the Super Bowl. Chris, you ready for this one?
Sure.
Now, the results were America's veterans, by a tune of 60%, believe the Chiefs are going to win. That's not so unusual. But here's what surprises me a little bit is when they asked veterans which quarterback they like better, guess which one they chose?
I would pick Pat Mahomes. But
yes.
They did. Okay. Yeah, because Brady's kind of smug. I mean, I think he's a very easy guy to dislike, I think.
That's a good point. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, 55-45 was that. So Veterans United Home Loans with their national survey of veterans, Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes was the takeaway from that. So interesting. But Chris, when we talk about the Super Bowl, you know, you just mentioned Tom Brady being smug and all that stuff. But the one thing that I think, and I know Raider fans want it to be true, and I understand why, and I don't disagree with them. But this Brady is a system quarterback thing. If you look at Brady and what he did this year, a lot of people, and I've even said it a couple times, and then the Next Gen Stats have got some stuff out, and it shows that Tom Brady is actually not degrading as much as people think he is, not as much as Breeze, Roethlisberger, or Rivers. And his air yard attempts was up, and his ranking number up was over 150. It's like Tom Brady has not lost that much. Yeah, he might not zip the ball as fast and quick as he used to, but Tom Brady can still throw the ball.
Yeah.
And so
and he's got the thing with Tom Brady is, I think what separates him from the others, and I know all those guys hate to lose, but there's just something different about Brady when it comes to winning. And the idea, and I was one of those people, I'm like, yeah, we'll see. He's not going to be that good in Tampa. We saw him kind of declining last year. And I think if you really want to see there's always going to be the debate. Was it Belichick or was it Brady? Look at Bill Belichick's record without Tom Brady. It's not good. And you can go back to his days in Cleveland. He's got one playoff win in his entire career without Tom Brady, and it came with the Cleveland Browns way back in the mid-90s. So,
right.
I don't know. Maybe it's just a blip. Maybe it's an aberration this one year, the perfect storm for Brady, because he really wasn't great in the NFC Championship game, but he didn't need to be. And he's never really needed to be. What separates Brady from those guys who can air it out and they'll throw for 300, 400, 500 yards is that Tom Brady has that desire to win at a greater level than I think a lot of other people who've played this game. You just can't handicap that, and that's really what separates him from those other guys.
Yeah, it's a great point. All right, we're going to go to Ron on the Raider Nation listener hotline. Ron, you're on with Scott and Chris. What's going on, man?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, buddy.
Hey, Chris, Godzilla, the original 1956 or 54.
Oh man, they're fantastic. I mean, I watched a bunch while I was and when there was no sports on, and I mean the HBO Max has all of them. And what's funny is when I was in Tokyo back last January, there's a hotel where Godzilla is actually on the roof, and there's like a show where he lights up and shoots stuff out of his mouth. But they have all the movie posters from Japan when the movies were released, and just seeing the progression from the 50s up until They're still releasing them today. It's funny, but I prefer the old school to the new ones. I don't like the CGI. I like the guy in the suit.
Yeah.
The original Godzilla didn't have Raymond Burr, and there was a strong anti-nuclear message and stuff in it. And anybody that's a fan of Godzilla needs to see that original one. But
yeah, that's true. Good stuff, man.
There is a NFL Football Life documentary also on Al Davis, and that's a really good one. It's an hour long. Mm-hmm. And in that documentary, Al Davis sends Willie Brown out with checks to people's families of people who have died. You know, and that's indicative of what Al Davis was, I believe. You know, not only a maverick, but he also had a heart. And anybody that investigates Al Davis will surely find that out.
Yeah, no, he did. And Ken Rogers, when we talked to him yesterday, Ron, he mentioned that documentary because they put that out right after Mr. Davis passed. And he did that. And I know Mark Davis still does it. And the organization, all you got to do is talk to an alumni. It doesn't matter if they played 1 year for the Raiders, if they played for the Raiders for a year but never even suited up for a game, they still take care of those guys. They still find roles for them within the organization. And I think that's where they differ so much from some of the other franchises, and that is all because of the example and the expectation that Al Davis set for that team. And it's something that you just don't see as much in modern sports anymore, but certainly is indicative of the kind of guy he was. So, Ron, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it.
My prayers go out to the what's going on in Kansas City there to the accident victims. But anyway, thanks a lot, man.
You got it, Ron. We appreciate you calling in, man. Don't be a stranger calling again. We love having you call in. Good stuff. And the original Godzilla and the meaning, the anti-nuclear message, absolutely true and a great movie. My boys love the old Godzillas, by the way. We have I forgot what streaming service it is, but we get all of the old Godzilla movies. So I'm like, my boys, you know, because they're, you know, 21st century kids, they don't necessarily like black and white movies. It's hard sometimes to get them to watch black and white movies, but they watch all those, man. They will sit down and watch them from start to finish multiple times. They love it. So it's all good. All right. Well, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, Damon Cotton will join me, and then we're going to be joined by Vinny Bonsignor here about 40 after the hour. He's going to be live at the Raiders Complex like I was yesterday, so you can catch In the Huddle with Vinny and Lincoln Kennedy coming up at 4 o'clock. But we'll talk to Vinny, too, a little bit about the Super Bowl, get his impressions of the 30 for 30 on Al Davis. You're with Scott here on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here's your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back, Silver and Black Today, here on Raider Nation Radio. Thank you all for being here. Listen, I feel so blessed every day to be able to talk to all of you on this show and Raider Nation. You know, when you do a radio show, you do a podcast, you know, we have a news website, silverandblacktoday.com. You know, not everybody likes us. Not everybody likes to listen to us. They like other content, and there's lots of great content out there. But man, I'll tell you what, I would not trade our callers, our listeners, the fans who listen to us and read us. It just blows my mind, and I can't thank you guys enough. It means so much to me and everybody who works so hard on the show. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And we're back. We're talking about the Al Davis documentary last night, the 30 for 30. We've had a lot of great calls through both hours on your opinions on it. And tell me what you think, 702-365-9200. I liked it a lot. And like you said, I think some people have said, look, they would have liked to see this or see that. You can't do it all in a short film. And when we talked to the director, Ken Rogers, yesterday, I really did credit him because I thought he did a good job of handling that situation pretty well and telling that story. Remember, his goal was to tell the story of the battle between Al Davis and the Raiders and the NFL and Pete Rozelle, and that was the focus. There are lots of other opportunities to make other films, and that's what I asked him about yesterday, because I really think, especially for younger fans, and of course, the Raiders are in a new city now, it's time to tell more stories. And I said earlier, Al Davis is such a great American success story. That story needs to be told. Like, I would love to see, I don't know if it's an Al Davis movie, but a real, I mean, I've seen The Football Life, which was really well done, but I think there's so much more to him that we should understand and see, and I would love to be able to see that, especially his younger days. You know, that would be fantastic because he worked so hard to get where he was.
Are you talking about those younger days, as he was mentioning in the 30 for 30 about just like sneaking around like the football teams, like there's so much they thought he was a spy? You want to go back that far?
Or yeah, I think DeMond, by the way, DeMond Cotton's on with us now. Chris had to duck out to do his hockey show. But I think there's a great lesson, DeMond, in for young people and older people too. Like if you're starting off at something, you know, what does it take to be successful? It's not just education. It's not just a little bit of experience. You can create your own opportunities. And I think Al Davis and his story are so great at that, because you can learn from that. Your passion might be something else. But I just think that it's really cool, and that it would be worth some exploration. I have to ask you this, DeMond, though. This is not football related, but for those of you who listen a lot to my show or Vinny's show, DeMond is also a professional wrestler. And what is this whole thing, Jose Canseco? What is this fight? What is this about? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Jose Canseco's got a fight. I mean, I will look it up right now. I mean, this is all new to me. Jose Canseco, he's doing what? He's fighting someone?
It's a Barstool Sports thing. Jose Canseco versus Billy Football. Live from West Virginia, main event, Jose Canseco versus Billy Football for lightweight title. 20 fights with no headgear, ring girl contest, blah, 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 blah. It's a fight. Yeah, I don't know what it is. Rough and rowdy. The wildest mix of humanity you've ever seen in a boxing ring. I have no idea what it is, but Jose Canseco is 56 years old.
And he's 0-1. Billy Football is 0-0, but Jose Canseco is 0-1.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, this isn't exactly. This, he's already like, you know, oh man, Billy Football. I've never heard of this Billy Football. Oh, Barstool intern.
Yes. He's a Barstool intern who I guess was calling out Jose Canseco. Now they're going to fight. It's like the pandemic has made us do some crazy things. Now, DeMond is involved in the wrestling industry, which has a long history, successful history, part of the American fabric of sport. But having a 56-year-old steroid baseball player fight a 22-year-old intern from Barstool Sports, that's the new one.
No, this is inspiration for me. Now, I have to call out a former, you know, player that's a little past his prime, and maybe, you know, try to get something started. You know, that could be my next, that could be my buzz. This is my inspiration, Scott. I'm glad you put me onto this story. Maybe if he beats Billy
Football.
I got
one for you, although he's still a great guy. He's not like in the Jose Canseco, because he's still a wonderful human being and very successful after sports. But why don't you just talk to Lincoln? Maybe you guys can go at it.
You know, I've been around Lincoln a little too much, you know, and it's just, you know, he's still got the size on me, you know. He's got a lot of size. Yeah, that's the size that, you know, you just can't, you know. You know,
Lincoln's still a good shape, man. And
exactly.
The last time I saw him in the studio there, Lincoln is such a nice guy too, but you stand next to him and I literally feel like I am a child. Because he's so large. He's so large, and I can't even remember like standing next to somebody that, and I've been next to basketball players, but they're more tall and lanky. But Lincoln is like, he's his own zip code, man.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, this is how big NFL linemen are.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, I've also seen Trent Brown. I've never stood next to Trent Brown because we couldn't get next to them at practice this year, but I did see him on the practice field. And he's a massive human being too, man. These guys are so big. Because when I was growing up in San Diego, one of our neighbors was Ed White, the former offensive lineman for the Chargers and the Vikings. And Ed, back then, I thought he was big. But I look at how big he was then compared to now. He would be like a really small linebacker today.
How big was he then?
Yeah, the size of the guys now are just so much bigger. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, even in your sport, in wrestling, right? I mean, you look at those guys back when I was a kid and WrestleMania first started. Yeah, that's how old I am. Those guys were buff. I mean, Hulk Hogan and those. But you look at them compared to the guys, even some of the guys that you wrestle with or some of the guys that are in WWE now, they're massive.
Yeah, the real big ones are, yes, but the industry's actually going smaller. It's almost like how you see in football, like in some spots, like linebackers are a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
You know, and then so it's almost trending that way where you still have like those freak athletes, but you know, it's people, it's like in some spots where there are lanes for guys like me. Like it was like Ray Lewis, like now, you know, he's a massive guy. He probably could play like, you know, edge rusher now, you know, but he was a middle linebacker. You know, it's, I think, you know, because I think it's everything's just going towards speed now.
Speed, exactly. No, that's a great point, because that's why, I mean, you look at some of the wide receivers in the NFL, right? There's always been small wide receivers in the NFL, but the guys with the speed, look at Tyreek Hill in the Super Bowl this week, right? I mean, he's not the biggest guy. And you look at even the Raiders when they drafted Henry Ruggs, he's not huge either. But man, when they get in that field, you get them the ball and they get some space and they're gone. And then in your sport, the ability to be nimble and move on your feet and have that good center of gravity, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Oh, it's very important, because it's just, it's everything where, you know, like you train like an athlete. Like the other day when we had Deion Hodges on the show, you know, Jonathan Abrams trainer, it was me thinking, I was like, maybe I need to like try to get like, you know, try to get some training sessions with him too, because it's just like getting those athletic movements down, or, you know, just like, you know, train like an athlete.
Yeah, exactly. And that, but that's where it's changed. And it's interesting to see how that has changed. And nutrition, like what you do when you work out and what you eat. And, you know, I talk about Dr. Jen's ultimate protein bars on here, and that kind of food that you can get a quick meal replacement basically out of, that doesn't have a bunch of crap in it. It's all natural ingredients. It gives you good energy and it's feeding your body versus, you know, making your body feel like junk. That stuff too, because even when I was a kid and I was playing sports, you know, what did we have? We would eat oranges, okay, which is fine. But we didn't have that kind of stuff. We didn't have like heavy duty nutrition stuff. It was very small business. Now it's such a big business. And you see it around these NFL guys too, and some of the endorsements that they do with the protein powders and the different additives that are legal under NFL rules, of course. But you see that kind of stuff, and it really does help you stay in better shape. It helps you maximize your workouts. And that's just something that wasn't there for a lot of these guys. You go back into the 70s and 80s, they didn't have that stuff.
No, I was even thinking back even further than that, because like in the 30 for 30 last night, where it was just the black and white footage, where even when they were talking about when it shifted over to Pete's point of view early on, and it's just like, man, it football just looked so, the game's just changed so much, and it just looks so dated. Because you're talking about, oh yeah, the 70s and 80s, they didn't have that. Imagine what they were doing back in the 50s.
Oh yeah, it was crack a beer at halftime. I mean, it was because we didn't have it from a sciences perspective and from a nutrition perspective. That stuff just was, I mean, it was being studied, and yeah, you had what was the equal to the food pyramid back there, but it probably included, yeah, have cake for dinner. You know, I mean, it had all kinds of stuff that now we know was not the best thing to do. But yeah, it's really interesting. And that's the thing I think too, that I take away from that 30 for 30, and you just hit on it, Damon, which is you see Al Davis go from those days in the early 60s, late 50s, into the early 60s, and then the visionary status that he had, because he was literally playing chess a lot of times with people who thought they were playing checkers, right? He was seeing the need for luxury boxes. He was seeing the need for them, because they keep local revenue, for all of these teams to have state-of-the-art stadiums, to have the ability to dictate how much money they could spend, right? Which is why, frankly, if you can be critical of Al Davis in anything, it's as he got older and his health started to wane, the whole salary cap thing was so foreign to him. I mean, he had to operate under it. But you go back to Al Davis, one of the things, and I've had so many guests on the show, Damon, that talk about this, which is Al didn't care what color you were, what, you know, what you did, what sex you were, anything. All he wanted to do was win. If you could help him win, he would pay you, and it was his business, so he wanted to pay whatever he could. And that's where the game has changed too. Now you have these devices built in to revenue share, and you have these devices built in to really understand kind of like, you know, how to build out a business and to make things equitable in the league. And that takes away from what Al Davis wanted to do. And the part in the documentary, Damon, that I also love was when it's later in Al's life, and the interviewee asks him, are you afraid to die? Or do you fear death? And he said, I used to. He's like, I don't fear it anymore. What I don't like is I can't dominate it. Right? Which is, you know, some people might watch that and not get it, but that shows the competitor and his attitude towards life, which was, I want to, whatever I do, I want to dominate at it. And so he was not going to be denied. he was going to do that. And so that in itself has to be, I think, something that I take away from that, which is really cool. What do you guys think? 702-365-9200 is the number. Vinny is coming up next on In the Huddle with Lincoln Kennedy. He is over at the Raiders facility. By the way, that show yesterday was awesome. I loved being in that studio. The Raiders, you know, we haven't been able to see all of the facility because of the COVID protocols, which is great. You know, got to keep everybody safe. But to be able to go there, we've now reached the point where we can go in there and do some shows. And the studio they have built in there is just phenomenal. Now, the Raiders do their podcasts there. They do shows there and all that stuff, which is great. But the fact, and I want to thank Eddie Pascal for helping me get in there yesterday and get me set up. And to me, that was awesome to be able to go and be in that facility and sit there was awesome. And at some point, you know, I'm sure they're never going to give tours of that place because that's their office. That's where they do business every day. But I can tell you, for those of you who saw pictures of Allegiant Stadium and how cool that is, the facility there where they're spending their time every single day, from front office staff to ticket staff to players to coaches, is just first rate. And I only saw a tiny percent of it because obviously I was going in to get into the studio, and then once I was gone, I was out. But I will tell you that it is just night and day. And I, you know, talking to the staff there about what they used to have versus what they have now, it just allows the team to connect to the fans. I saw the TV studio where you see my colleague JT the Brick do the TV stuff for the Raiders, the video stuff, like the interview with Coach Gruden yesterday. It's just unreal. I've been in a lot of TV studios, and it's right up there. I mean, they spared no detail looking into how you create a studio so that you can get it right. And that's what the Raiders have done. And I think that's the difference. And for all the talk about leaving Oakland, which I know is so tough for you guys up in the Bay Area and all of that, but you know, when you see this stuff, and eventually I'm sure when everybody's back to work there, they'll probably do a video or something for the team and put it on the website so you can kind of see the whole complex. You've seen the practice field, you've seen the outside, the inside, and the weight areas and stuff from the social media content that the team does. But if you see the rest of that facility, oh man, it's beautiful. The torch out front, of course, and then the lobby, which has a big Raiders logo in it. There's a Raider image store in there as well. It's just really neat. And you know, you look at that, and that's why watching the documentary yesterday, the one bittersweet point of all of it, of course, was that Al Davis didn't get to see it. So that deep fake stuff and him walking through the stadium, you know, that just reminds me that I have to believe, you know, no matter what your belief is about the afterlife, in the afterlife, I got to figure that Al Davis made sure that he could come back and wander the halls of not only the stadium, but of the Raiders headquarters in Henderson, because it's everything he wanted and he knew he needed for his team to be competitive. That's all he was asking for. Hey, I just want to be able to do the best that I can do to build the best organization in all of professional sports. And so to be able to see it yesterday in the studio, and next week, I'm not going to be back there because I got to take a day off. But then the following week, I'll be there for two shows. I'll be there on Tuesday, Thursday as well, which will be cool to bring it to you. But Vinny's going to be there next. I know they're getting him hooked up. He was going to be with us today, but he's got some other things going on. So he's going to be on at the top of the hour. And he'll tell you, I'm sure he'll give you his impressions of that. But we're talking a lot about the 30 for 30 just because we want to hear the reaction. You guys are always so great about sharing your thoughts and your reviews. And I'm sure I'll get some straggler phone calls on Monday about it. But the Super Bowl is coming up Sunday. And I'll tell you, it's hard for me to say who I'd like to see win. Because I like you guys, not just because of the Raider affiliation, but because I'm just not excited about either one. Vinny, you there now, buddy?
I'm here, guys.
All right. How isn't that studio beautiful?
It's really, really nice. I have to admit, and not that I'm surprised whatsoever. I knew, you know, everything that was going into you know, building this facility, not just for the team, but all the ancillary stuff that that they have going on, and that you need TV studios, radio studios. It is really beautiful. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's very cool. Vinny, I know we only have a couple minutes left, but tell me your impressions of the 30 for 30 last night and kind of your big takeaways from it.
Well, especially, I should say, the Los Angeles part of it. You know, for somebody that was right around in high school at that point in time, I just vividly remember coming home, you know, after dinner or during dinner and watching the news every night and seeing all of that drama unfold as far as, you know, the Raiders potentially moving to Los Angeles or trying to move to Los Angeles and the court hearing and the feud between, you know, Pete Rozelle and Al Davis, and just vividly those vivid memories coming back last night. And watching it, and also to see Al Davis at the top of his game. You know, we remember, you know, unfortunately toward the end, you know, getting up there in age, obviously, and some health issues. But when he was when he had his fastball humming, it was humming really well, and he was on top of his game. And to see some of the footage and the interviews of him throughout the course of those years, and seeing, you know, the Al Davis that if you were around at that point in time and were living it at that point in time, that's Al Davis. That's the Al Davis that we know. And to see him kind of come back to life in a little bit. And a lot of that footage I hadn't seen before, you know, some of the interviews that he had done, a lot of it we did see or had seen before. But it was really cool to see Al Davis in full force and full effect. He was a pioneer. He was an icon, one of the great figures in American sports history. And to see him come to life, especially for some of the viewers that may not have the memories that we have, I think it was a real treat for them as well.
Yeah, that was very cool. And I was a fan. I like the deepfake stuff. And having him walk through the stadium, I thought was a really cool storytelling device for those of us who are film buffs. And when we talked to Ken Rogers yesterday, I told him that I dug it. Some people don't like it, but I understand. But it's certainly, too, a must-watch television if you're a new Las Vegas Raiders fan, to give you that historical perspective. Vinny, what do you got coming on the show?
Yeah, well, we're definitely going to talk about the 30 for 30 show, which I'm going to watch again, to be honest with you, later on tonight. We're going to talk about that and that arc, the entire arc of and what it really means for the Las Vegas Raiders and the journey to get here and all the various stops along the way, and the greatness that the Raiders, displayed on the field, even during some of those turbulent times as far as where they were going to end up. I loved the part of the actors, you know, in the stadium, in Allegiant Stadium, mm-hmm. because this part of it, this Las Vegas Raider part of it, is the culmination of all that,
of all
those
years.
The beginning for a new phase in Raider history. So it's really cool to have seen the evolution of that and really to set the stage for a new beginning here in Las Vegas.
All right, well, stay tuned for In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, coming to you live from the Raiders headquarters here in just a few minutes. Vinny, thanks, man. Have a great show.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game.
All right, you too. For Damon Cotton, for Chris Chapman, I am Scott Gilbranson. We will talk to you guys on Monday. Enjoy the Super Bowl, whichever way it goes. We'll talk to you next time.